Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. Welcome to our weekly 30-minute blast, reviewing the headlines, making sense of the confusing, swirling, competing, and conflicting ideologies and doctrines swirling around out there. We're here to shine the truth on the lies and hold fast to our heritage and the traditional American values that the adversaries are trying to strip away from us. And they're really good at making you feel like you are all alone if you care about our conservative Christian heritage, American ideals. Well, you're not alone and you are not in the minority. So, this is the place where we talk about these things, and we have some challenges ahead of us, patriots. We've got to get motivated beyond just the point of showing up and casting our vote and feeling like we've done our job, our civic duty. We've got to get in the fight. I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to bring some awareness, continue on some things that I talked about last week, and then talk about some other challenges that we have, not just on the national level, but it's coming right here to your doorstep in your own community. Some things you need to be aware of, and hopefully we can motivate you to action while we also encourage you and inform you, but we want you to get involved if you care about preserving that which we all cherish and value and hope to pass on to our children and grandchildren, our posterity. But first, let me just cover a couple of these news stories here, news and commentary. In international news, out of Brazil, more than 100 people have been reported killed during a six-day strike by police in the Brazilian state of Espírito Santo, as hundreds of troops patrolled the streets attempting to keep order with schools and businesses closed and public transport frozen. The police have gone on strike. This shows you what a thin veil of civility there really is that can come stripping off in an instant. 100 people killed in 6 days. The army mobilized airborne troops and armored vehicles on Thursday to reinforce roughly 1,200 soldiers and federal police trying to contain the chaos in this coastal state north of Rio de Janeiro. Most of the violence was centered in Vitoria, the state capital. And they're saying, well, we can't establish a definite motive for these killings at this time, but the crisis is still ongoing. Now there are fears that strikes could spread to other cash-strapped states that are not paying police and other public servants on time. So they're already warning now. Federal officials are saying that they may urgently need the backing of troops or federal police soon in other areas, including Rio de Janeiro, because there are rumors of a pending strike there. Can you imagine in Rio, of all places, the police going on strike? This is one of those times when you want to stay completely away from the crowds. State officials are saying they need hundreds more federal troops and members of an elite federal police force to stop or to help establish order to make up for the absence of some 1,800 state police who normally patrol Vitoria's metropolitan areas. Hopefully this isn't giving any of our bureaucrats, certain individuals within our own government, any ideas here in the United States. In other news, speaking of chaos, there was a security alert in Brussels after a massive blackout plunged the entire center of the European Union capital into darkness. Brussels had been plunged into darkness after a massive power cut, and there are some concerns about a terror attack, but they really don't know the cause of this yet. They're not ruling out terrorism, but Belgium and other European countries are on high alert following several devastating terrorist incidents over the past 12 months. So people are a little edgy over there. The appeals court in the United States keeps the doors open. They ruled against Trump. This is out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, traditionally leaning hard to the left. And this movement, I'm going to talk about a little bit about. I was corresponding with one of our listeners. See, you know, I'm wondering when they're going to take steps to issue a warrant for Trump's arrest, or at least attempt it. Well, sure enough, we've got a link here that he came up with, sent it to me from the New York Times, from the Week in Review. They're already starting to plant the seeds. The Nation, a primer, prosecuting a president. Just 5 days after President Bush took office. Oh, wait, no. This is January 25th, 1998. So this discussion is coming back to life. The question of whether a sitting president can be indicted and criminally prosecuted. So this story is circulating again. I'll put that link in the highlights and resources posting. And they're already calling, you know, racist, Nazi, terrorist, fascist, should be overthrown. Those people that are actually aspiring toward that, creating chaos. We'll talk about in the next segment. Now, last week I talked about titled the show, Not All Muslims Are Terrorists, Not All Muslims Are Bad People. And I reviewed a couple of my own experiences with Muslims, which were very positive experiences. Although those were 25 years ago plus. So a lot's changed in the Muslim world, just like as we've seen in Afghanistan, Iran, all these countries where you see in the 60s and 70s seem very westernized, very modernized. But as Islam takes a hold and Sharia, especially Sharia law, takes a hold, the oppression and darkness settles in. And there's this metamorphosis that takes place. And we talked about that. What happens in countries as Islam tilts to increasing numbers? Well, there are some people out there saying, hey, you know, bring them here. These Christian organizations, Christian in name only, I would say, bring them here and we'll convert them. We'll expose them to Christianity. It's not happening. The numbers are so minuscule of those that are converting to Christianity. First of all, those organizations that are bringing Muslims in are taking federal dollars. They are not allowed to teach them the gospel. Oh, we'll just still take the multiple millions of dollars from relocating Muslim refugees in this country, and we'll just let them see Christ in us. I mean, we won't have to talk about it. But what's happening is that their host families and communities are actually bending to accommodate Islam. The Muslims are not converting to Christianity for the most part. You know where it's growing? You know where they're being converted? Is in Muslim nations where they're being oppressed. That is where the underground church is growing and people are coming to Christ. There is a plan to destroy America. It is not just a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy put into motion in the practical application of it. In fact, we have evidence of this. And you can always say, like I always say, today's conspiracy theory is the headlines 10 years from now. Just like the government spying on you and collecting and harvesting and monitoring all of your, you know, emails and phone calls. It's only conspiracy theory, right? Until we actually have NSA analysts confirming it. Now it's the headlines. Well, here's some conspiracy headlines. Practical application of being implemented. This is from a website I want to encourage you guys to go and check out. We're putting up a posting with several videos that I mentioned last week. It's going to be their own posting at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. But this website's called Sharia, the Threat to America. The website is ShariaTheThreat.org. They put together a short course on what is Sharia. In course part 14 of this, the Muslim Brotherhood's strategic plan. From this page, and we'll link to it so you can go read it for yourself. Here we look at the contents of the secret Muslim Brotherhood strategic plan for North America, which the FBI uncovered in 2004. This was during a raid that I mentioned last week. The plan explains how the Ikhwan seeks to extend Sharia into the United States and Canada. The Muslim Brotherhood's phased plan. We know from, among other things, the Elbaras trove of Muslim Brotherhood documents that the goal of destroying Western civilization from within is to be achieved by the Brotherhood in accordance with a phased plan. The plan is a stepped process modeled directly after Sayyid Qutb's milestones and the Sharia doctrine of progressive revelation. One such document is an undated paper entitled Phases of the World Underground Movement Plan. It specifies the five phases of the Muslim Brotherhood movement in North America, that's the United States and Canada. They are described together with comments about the Ikhwan's progress in realizing each goal as follows. Phase one. This is the phase of discreet and secret establishment of leadership, which they've already done, which they've infiltrated. Phase two is the phase of gradual appearance on the public scene and exercising and utilizing various public activities. It greatly succeeded in implementing this stage. It also succeeded in achieving a great deal of its important goals, such as infiltrating various sectors of the government, gaining religious institutions and embracing senior scholars, gaining public support and sympathy. Are we seeing that today? Fully developed now. Establishing a shadow government secret within the government. And that's happened. Phase three, escalation phase. Prior to conflict and confrontation with the rulers through utilizing mass media, which is currently underway, as we see every day. Phase four, open public confrontation with the government through exercising the political pressure approach. It is aggressively implementing the above-mentioned approach right now. Training on the use of weapons domestically and overseas in anticipation of zero hour. It has noticeable activities in this regard. Phase five, seizing power to establish their Islamic nation under which all parties and Islamic groups are united. This document offers a chilling operational insight into the mindset, planning, and vision of the Islamic movement in North America. The implementation of Sharia by the Muslim Brotherhood in the Elbaras archives, and from close observations of the Brotherhood's operations have revealed the following as the most important of the techniques employed by the Ikhwan in America to achieve the seditious goals of its civilization jihad. I'll go right down the list. They're bulleted. Expanding the Muslim presence by birth rate, immigration, and refusal to assimilate. Occupying and expanding domination of physical spaces. We see that with mosques, right? And cemeteries, Muslim only. Ensuring the Muslim community knows and follows the Muslim Brotherhood doctrine. Controlling the language we use in describing the enemy. Ensuring we do not study their doctrine. So, in other words, implementing Sharia. We don't follow the Constitution. We follow Sharia. We're Muslims. We have our religious right. You can't take away our religious right. Now, that would be unconstitutional for you to deny our activities to destroy and undermine the Constitution. Co-opting key leadership. Forcing compliance with Sharia at local levels. We're seeing that. We're seeing all of this. Fighting all counterterrorism efforts. Do we see this? Yes. Nearly on a daily basis with the CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. Every time there's some type of counterterrorism effort, they're squawking and complaining about it. Subverting religious organizations. Employing lawfare, the offensive use of lawsuits and threats of lawsuits. Claiming victimization, demanding accommodations. Condemning slander against Islam. Subverting the U.S. education system, in particular, infiltrating and dominating U.S. Middle East studies programs. Demanding the right to practice Sharia in segregated Muslim enclaves. Let that camel's nose get its way into the tent. Just see what's happened in Europe. With all these Muslim no-go zones. Demanding recognition of Sharia in non-Muslim spheres. That's coming. Confronting and denouncing Western society, laws, and traditions, and demanding that Sharia replace Western law. And note this. Many of the foregoing techniques entail, in one way or another, influencing and neutralizing the American government at all levels. And that concludes that. In part 15, the next part, they do a case study of Muslim Brotherhood penetration of the United States government. I went through a briefing in Phoenix, Arizona last summer of 2015, where this was actually covered by a former FBI agent and a CIA agent from the Center for Policy, I'm drawing a blank on it. Amazing, this stuff. What we were told. The general public doesn't know. I'm telling you now. And this is getting out there. All right, let's take a break. Come back in just a minute. And we're going to talk about some of the threats we have right on your doorstep right now, this weekend. This is The Voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away.
Patriot isn't easy. It takes work. And I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom. Freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said, "We must." But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, "Remember freedom? Wasn't it nice?" I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Is it too much to ask that we fulfill these obligations of citizenship? If we think so, we should read again the history of the founding of this nation and consider the hardships of the people who made possible our freedom. They felt that no challenge was too great if freedom was at stake. That spirit carried them on. It created for us the foundation of our great heritage. We have seen it flare up and burn brightly in every national emergency, on the battlefields and at home. The socialists, the communists, and their followers would like to see the American spirit extinguished. If each of us will rise to the occasion, if every citizen, young and old, will accept the challenge of his citizenship, then the socialist and communist and their followers will not prevail, and America will go on toward the fulfillment of her great world destiny.
Dr. Clifton L. Gaines, Jr. was our instructor. This is a continuing series based on the unique political and economic system which has made America great.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is segment two brought to you by RiverfrontSuites.com. Beautiful little places right along the St. Joe River outside of St. Mary's, Idaho. If you need a place to get away for the weekend, go check them out today. RiverfrontSuites.com. Don't forget, now next weekend, Saturday, February 18th at Candlelight Christian Fellowship in Coeur d'Alene, I will be putting on a free electronic security class to help protect you from identity theft, hacking, snoopers, hostile left-wing extremist groups, even unlawful government hacking and tracking, how to protect your privacy and your personal information and your internet activity. All right, let's see. And go to radiofreeredoubt.com for more information on that. Now, I've got... well, several things here. I'm going to just try to cram through them really quickly. The Coeur d'Alene Press came out with an article this week. It says, groups give Trump a taste of Obama's old medicine. What are they talking about? This group, Indivisible North Idaho, is making its presence known by attending town hall meetings and gatherings at local offices of congressional members. Well, this was started by some young man called, it's called Indivisible. But it's not just an Idaho thing. This is a nationwide thing that's taking off. And they're anything but indivisible. They are divisive, if anything. Because at the last town hall meeting, some of these yahoos showed up, and it was purely disruptive. In the middle of speaking, the speakers, these leftist disruptors are screaming out randomly, what about our health care? What about the hate? What about Trump's? They're just being disruptive, wouldn't let anybody even complete a thought. That's how they operate. Well, that's happening right here in the American Redoubt. I'm telling you guys, you better get ready to roll up your sleeves, because you cannot sit passively by. They're coming to take your community. It's already happening. And here we have these groups getting increasingly violent as well. There's one, a professor accused of punching a Republican student over politics. And from Pamela Geller, another one, left-wing university professor, physically assaults college Republican student at California State University. Same story, different source. But you guys heard about the riots in Berkeley, UC Berkeley, where they burned things to the ground. They tore things up. They assaulted police officers. Destruction of property. Attacks on conservatives. People who weren't... all these inclusive people attacked anyone who stepped outside the box of their way of thinking, which is left-wing revolutionary tactics. Physical assault on police. And one of the organizers of this is a Berkeley professor. And she was interviewed I want you to listen to this. This is what she had to say in an interview afterward. But do you think these violence, these type of outbursts, can't you just demonstrate, make your voice be known? Do you have to be violent? Is this helping your cause? This is what she had to say.
Now, what I think was so important about our success on Wednesday, which is why it should be the model for how the movement needs to take things now in the future.
Really?
Yeah, because, but let me finish, is because we need to make sure that the millions of people out there who are angry and who are scared under Donald Trump and everything that he's doing now know that there are people out there who will stand up and fight the way the movement needs to.
You heard it right out of her mouth. This should be a model. This riot, arson, destruction of property, attacks on people who don't think like them, and physical assaults on police should be a model. And the way they acted contributed to their success. Folks, this is what's changing on the streets of America. You're seeing communist revolutionary tactics unfold in America. I recommend staying away from crowds. I also recommend being armed at all times, prepared to protect life, liberty, and property. Things are changing. They've demonstrated a willingness and the capability to go violent. Right now, this is not how it could be in a few years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We're seeing it right now. So things have escalated. They haven't armed themselves yet, like with weapons. That's going to happen quickly. So situationally, relocate strategically to the American Redoubt when you get a chance. So much more to cover, but we'll do it tomorrow night, Sunday night, 8 p.m. at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. As always, pray for wisdom, discernment, courage, and humility. Stay safe. God bless.